Well, take your Bibles tonight, and if you're not there already, turn to Proverbs chapter 24. Proverbs chapter 24. And, well, I just want to read these verses again. Beginning in verse 30, it says, I went by the field of the slothful, and by the vineyard of the man void of understanding. And lo, it was all grown over with thorns and nettles, had covered the face thereof, and the stone wall thereof was broken down. Then I saw and considered it well. I looked upon it and received instruction. You know, that's my desire tonight, is to receive instruction here and relate that to you tonight about our Christian life. And I think it was someone who said that for a young man, they should read the book of Proverbs one chapter a day. And if you read one chapter a day, you would read it once a month and then 12 times a year. And I did that for a while. I did that, tried endeavor to read that and receive much instruction from God's Word. And tonight, I want to just think about our spiritual life. Here we're talking about a vineyard, but really, I think we could be talking about any part of our life. And you know, I really believe that God would have your life to be fruitful. And He would like us as born-again believers to bear fruit in our life. And I believe tonight we can receive some instruction here from the Word of God. Jesus Christ wants you and I to have a fruitful relationship with Him. And I believe this here portion of Scripture would tell us about maybe something in your life. I know probably here tonight, most of you are saved. You know the Lord is your Savior. And you're endeavoring to grow. You're endeavoring to live your life for Christ. And like myself, but I just wonder, maybe is there some part in your life? Is there something that you're neglecting? I know we can't be 100% right on everything. I mean, that would be like living the perfect Christian life. And I know that's, you know, we're still flesh and we still have to deal with sin and different things. And I would think maybe in your mind and in my mind, there's something I know I could do better at with my relationship with Jesus Christ. Maybe be a better witness. Maybe to read my Bible a little bit more. Maybe have more time in prayer. Maybe to have a better relationship with my family. Maybe that relationship between the husband and wife. I know there's something somewhere that we could do something better at if we would just receive the instruction here from the Word of God. Let's bow our heads in a word of prayer. Our dear God and Heavenly Father, we thank You. We thank You for Your Word and for, Lord, the fact that we can go to it tonight and receive instruction. Lord, I pray that You would be with me this evening as I bring forth this message. And Lord, I pray, maybe there's one here tonight that's not saved. Lord, I pray maybe through the teaching and preaching of the Word of God, they would come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Lord, help us to be better Christians. Lord, help us to live our life and to receive fruit. And Lord, that we would bear fruit that would bring glory and honor to Your name and to our Savior, Jesus Christ. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Would this picture of a neglected vineyard represent something in your life that you know you could do better at? Could this vineyard represent something in your life? I got three simple truths that I think will help us cultivate a neglected vineyard in our lives. You know, we look at this passage, and the first thing that comes to mind in verse 30 is, in verse 31, is that this vineyard was overgrown. The Bible says it was overgrown with thorns and nettles, meaning it was full of weeds. It was overgrown with weeds. And you know what the problem is with weeds? Is that weeds will diminish the potential of productivity. If you know, I'm sure coming from an agricultural rural setting like we are here tonight, many of you have gardens. And you know you have to get in there and do the task of weeding and taking out the weeds of the garden. If you don't, they're going to choke the life out of the good. And they're going to diminish the productivity that you could have from that garden. And you got to get in there and do the hard work of getting out those weeds. And it's not pleasant. Nobody likes to do it. But it's something that has to be done. And you got to get in there and take care of that. It wasn't too long ago I started having a garden myself and found that it was a way to kind of get in there and relax, and especially on a day after ministry and things like that, I could go in there and just kind of take my mind off of things I was doing, and I could just get in there and sit down and just pull out those weeds. And you know, that's good therapy for a preacher, just to get in there and pull out the weeds and do something else other than maybe what's consuming your mind. And I found out that if you got the weeds when they were small, you know, if you just got in there and just used your thumb and forefinger, boy, you could pull that thing out no problem. And you really didn't disturb any of the dirt or anything around it. You could just pull that out, and it was so simple and so easy. But I found out that if I let it go too long, it wasn't like that, was it? You know, and then it was pulling it out. And you know what I hate? I hate when that little taproot gets stuck down in there. You know, you just pull half of it out and the rest of it's in there, and you know it's just going to grow back again. And you're going to have to go out there and do it all over again. But that reminds me of sin, doesn't it? You know, sin has that type of effect in our life. Turn with me to 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1. First John chapter 1 and verse 8. John the apostle says this: if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Now look at chapter 2, verse 1. My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And hereby we do know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. So here John writes to us about sin. And he basically says to us, we're going to sin. Even if we're saved, and if even as a born-again believer, we're going to have sin in our life. And what we have to do right away is confess that sin. Not to harbor that sin. Not to let that sin develop into something that's going to cause you to be less fruitful for the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know, that's exactly what sin's going to do to you. It's going to cause you to be less fruitful. It's going to cause you to get off the path that God wants to lead and guide you to in your life, that you can be a fruitful and a fruit-bearing Christian. You know, sadly, we don't do that because of pride. Because of pride. You know, pride shows a lack of understanding. When you have pride in your life and you're too proud to confess your sin, or you're too proud to admit that you've got some sin in your life, you lack spiritual understanding. And that's sad, because that's going to lead you somewhere where you don't want to go. You know, in Sault Ste. Marie, we have quite a bit of snow up there. And our winters tend to be long. And I've found that if you're going to live up there, you need to do something and get out there and enjoy winter. And I, over the years, I've picked up a little hobby just to get some exercise, and that's cross-country skiing. And it was real easy to get into because someone came to me in the church and said, "Pastor, we have these cross-country skis. Would you like to have them?" And she said that magic word to a Baptist preacher. It was free. I said, "Sure, I'll take them." And I took those skis, and you know, sometimes these ski clubs that they have up there, they groom the trails, you know, through the trees, and they have the paths and everything, and they call that classic skiing, and then they have this skating skiing. And I'm in the classic. That's the old style. And sometimes they'll have a free day. And that's good, too, for Baptist preachers, because you can go there for free and enjoy that skiing. Well, I was a novice, and I didn't know a lot about cross-country skiing. So I went with another friend, and I remember it was a cold day. I don't think I'm lying when I say it was like minus 30 degrees Celsius that day. It was cold. But we went out there, and we started skiing around, and this was a real, I would say, posh ski club. I mean, they had miles and miles of trails. And it was a place that Americans go to, and they come up there and they stay in chalets and they ski and things like that. But they had a free day for the public to go in there. And I went in there, and just, I didn't know anything about, hardly anything about skiing. You just put one ski in front of the other. They have those tracks there. It makes it real easy. You can't get lost. And you just ski. Well, as I skied back, you know, when you ski out, you got to ski back. And so I was skiing back to the lodge. And this place had where at the end of the trail, you went downhill. You know, sometimes you should think about the outcome before you start. Well, I got there and I thought, I'm going downhill because it's not easy going uphill. It's a whole lot easier going downhill. And I don't think I'm lying when I say it was about a half mile downhill run. And I got going. And you know them skis, they pick up some speed when you start going down. And they're in tracks. You know that classic ski, and they have those grooves in the snow, and you can't get out of that. And I started going down, and I started thinking, how am I going to stop at the end of this trail? Because you're committed. And you got to get down. When you get down there, you're going to have to stop or something's going to stop you. And I got down there, and I won't tell you how I stopped. My family was down there, and I embarrassed them so bad. But I stopped. I got stopped. But you know what? That's like sin, isn't it? You play with sin. You say, I'll just have that little sin in my life. I can handle that. But the problem with sin, it'll send you down faster than you ever thought it would take you. And sometimes we get going on that downhill incline of sin, and then we start thinking, where is this going to end? Where is it going to stop? How am I going to get out of this? What am I going to do? You see, that's pride. Pride got you there. Pride sent you down that track. Now, what are you going to do? I thank God that John said, we have someone who provided propitiation through Jesus Christ. And I'm here to say, Christian, if you're on a downward slide of sin tonight, go to Christ. And we can confess our sins. And He is faithful and just. And He will forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. What a blessing that is. What a promise of God that we have. And I want to encourage you. Maybe you're here tonight and you don't know Jesus Christ is your Savior. And you never thought about what's going to happen. Where am I going to end up when this life is over? Listen, you're going to stand before a holy God and you're going to give an account for your life. And here you're going to stand before the great white throne judgment. And there's going to be two books there. And one book will be the works of your life. And another book is going to be the Lamb's Book of Life. And they're going to look in those books. And they're going to look in the Lamb's Book of Life. And they're going to find out if your name is there. Well, if you're at the great white throne judgment, your name's not there.
And you'll hear those words, "Depart from me, I never knew you." And you'll be cast into a lake of fire. You don't want that. You want Jesus Christ. You want salvation. You want your sins forgiven. You want to repent of your sins. And you want to trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. I plead with you tonight, if you're not saved, trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. He wants to save you. He provided the propitiation. He provided the sacrifice that you might have salvation full and free. What a wonderful blessing that is. So you got to do the weeding. If you got sin in your life, you got to take the difficult task. And you got to go in there and do that. I like also what John says here in verse, I believe he said it in verse, let me find it for us. He said something interesting, I thought. Verse 8, he said, "If we say that we have no sin," if you think you can get away with sin, you say, "Well, I can hide that. I can fool the preacher. I can fool my wife. I can fool my family. I can get away with this." What does John say? He says here, "Ye deceive yourselves." Ourselves, actually. You're deceiving yourself. You can't play with sin. You got to take care of that. And you don't want to end up like that vineyard, and it's going to take away the productivity that you could have in your life for Christ. So that's the first thing that has to be taken care of. Number two, it says in our text back in chapter 24 of Proverbs, and notice it says there, not only was it overgrown with thorns and nettles, had covered the face thereof, but he also says in verse 31, and the stone wall thereof was broken down. You see, someone had came along and not only planted a vineyard and provided a place for this fruitful and this wonderful place that could provide fruit, but also they built a wall. And the wall was probably terraced on the hillside. And not only that, but that wall was used for protection. That had a purpose. That wall had a purpose for being there. And one of the purposes might have been, you know, being in a semi-arid country, they don't get a lot of rain sometimes. And so when it does rain, you don't want the water just washing off the side of the mountain or the side of the hill. You want something to catch that. And that'll stop that from just washing right off and going down into a stream, but it'll actually stay there and maybe provide some nourishment for that vineyard. Not only that, but it would also provide protection, keeping things out of there. Maybe it would keep someone from going in there and stealing the fruit. Or maybe it would keep some animal from getting in there that might cause damage. That wall had a purpose. But this man or this person who owned this vineyard, not only did he let the weeds grow up, but he also did let that wall get in disrepair. He neglected that wall. Maybe a little crack in the wall began to open up. And instead of going back with some mortar or something to repair that mortar, he just let that go. And you know, water gets in there and then it starts to eat away at the mortar. Maybe the rocks start falling out and different things. And pretty soon that wall is broken down and it's no good for anything. It can't hold the water back. It cannot keep anything from getting in there. So it's not doing its purpose. You see, the wall had a purpose. And you know, again, God has given us a wall. God has given us a fence of protection and a fence of nourishment if we'll use it. Turn again to 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2, and notice what he says in verse 3. "Hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He that saith, 'I know him,' and keep not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also to walk even as he walked." Now, in that portion of Scripture, the commandments is not referring to the Old Testament commandments, but they are referring to the commandments of Jesus Christ. the Lord and Savior. And when it's talking about how He walked, it's talking about how Jesus Christ walked. And we are to live in accordance with the Word of God. And you know, Jesus Christ gave us His commandments. He gave us His Word that we might read them and know them, that we might live them and obey them. And that's so important, because the Word of God, if you will obey God's Word, if you will live under the authority of the Word of God, it will be not only a fence of protection for you as a born-again believer, but it will also be a fence of nourishment. It will supply your soul with the spiritual food and the nutrition and sustenance that you need in your life. It is so important that we as Christians are in the Word of God. You know, I don't know about you ladies, but you gentlemen, you know about remodeling and going in somewhere and repairing something, you know, like let's say something in your house, and you're going to go in and you're going to redo something. You're going to redo a room. You're going to renovate someplace in your house, and you're thinking, well, before you get started, you're saying, well, you know what, I'm going to need this, I'm going to have to do this. But you know what I've found when I do any type of renovating? It's always going to cost me more than I thought. It's always going to be more work than I thought. Because once you get into the job, once you get in doing the work, you find out, oh, I didn't know this. Boy, this was worse than I thought it was. This was worse off than I could imagine. Now I got to go in there and redo everything. I got to do more. You know, that's like it is in our Christian life sometimes. When we get backslidden, we get away from the Word of God, we don't realize what it's going to take sometimes to get back where we were. Sometimes to get back to that place where we were before we began to backslide, or get away from our Bible reading, or get away from following the Lord. And it's going to say, well, I'll just get back and right with God. Hey, you'd be surprised how much it's going to cost you. Because, you know, sin has a result in your life, has a result in my life. And sometimes we have to live with the consequences of sin. And you know, it's like that man that let that wall get torn down and broken up. Now he's somebody, whether it's him or somebody else, somebody has to go back and rebuild that wall. They got to go back and they got to take the time and they got to rebuild the wall. They got to spend the energy. They got to take the money and all everything else to get back what he lost. And sometimes I don't think we realize in our Christian life, when we get away from the Lord, it's going to cost somebody. It may cost your wife. It may cost your husband. It may cost your children. It may cost your grandchildren. You know, we don't think about that sometimes. We don't realize that. Some little things can become big things if they're neglected. Don't neglect your walk with Christ. Don't neglect that relationship with Jesus Christ, because it may cost you more than you can imagine. We need the Word of God. We need to stay in the Word of God. And by staying there and being faithful, we can do so much and we can be so fruitful for Him. Sometimes disobedience shows a lack of judgment. It shows a lack of judgment. I just have an illustration here. You probably heard this, but I think it bears repeating. It's a good example for us tonight. When former Tennessee quarterback Steve McNair was found dead, USA Today ran the headline, "Slaying Brings McNair's Other Life to Light." McNair, married and a father of four, was found with the body of a 20-year-old waitress with whom he was having an affair. McNair was a star who took his team to the Super Bowl. By reputation, he was an icon, but in reality, his character was deeply flawed. We may strive for a good image, but would a closer look reveal another life? You know, you can come to church and you can look good. You can fool the preacher. You can even fool the people here in this room, but God knows your heart. And you know, one day you can hide, you can have that mask in your life for only so long, but eventually your character is going to come out, and people are going to be revealed what you are in your heart. Let's stay close to the Lord. We need to stay faithful, and we need to stay in His Word. So do the weeding, repair the wall, and then lastly, don't get weary in well-doing. Don't get weary in well-doing. Let's go back to that text and just quickly here. It says here, "Then I saw and considered it well and looked upon it and received instruction." What did he realize? What did he learn? He learned this, yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall thy poverty come as one that travaileth, and thy want as an armed man. You know what? He learned something. He said, hey, you know what? One day, poverty is going to come. One day, the season of bearing fruit is going to come to an end, and there's going to be a reckoning. There's going to be a time where you're going to need the fruit, you're going to need that, but you came and you were lazy and you did not do what you're supposed to do. You were not faithful. And when the time of reckoning came, you were found lazy. You were found without fruit. And not only that, but it could not provide for you. You could not provide for your family because it wasn't there. And poverty came to your home. And that's what he learned that. And he says, we got to learn to be faithful. You got to learn. You got to stay busy. You got to work hard. You can't let that happen because poverty will come. The day will come when you'll have to give an account. And isn't that true for us today? You know, working isn't always fun. I mean, it can be at times. There are times when I enjoy work. I can have a good time working. There's nothing wrong with that. But sometimes working can be hard. Sometimes you get your hands dirty. Sometimes you get your fingernails dirty. And sometimes it's hard and difficult. But you got to keep on working. You just can't quit. You can't just quit because it gets too hard. You just can't quit because, you know, you just don't see the result that you'd see. You got to keep at it and be faithful. And I've learned that God wants us to be faithful. So work isn't always fun. Yeah, sure, pulling weeds isn't always fun. Repairing walls isn't always fun. But it needs to be done if we're going to have fruit when poverty comes. When the season for growing is over, we're going to have an account and give an account of ourselves. You know, there are repercussions now for wasted time. For this man of the vineyard, there's repercussions for wasted time, for wasted labor, for laziness. Now his family's going to go without. Now he's going to be a burden to someone else because he wasn't able to provide. He wasn't productive. And he's going to face that. Harvest loss, poverty, burdens on others. These things are the results when we are not faithful in what God has called us to do. Laziness shows a lack of discipline. Laziness shows a lack of discipline. We need to learn to discipline ourselves. We got to learn to discipline ourselves for the whole race. The life of the Christian is like a race, isn't it? And you got to pace yourself. Because it's important to finish. And we have to finish that race. Let me encourage you here tonight. Maybe you're here and you're thinking about quitting. You're saying, boy, this thing called Christianity, this thing about being an independent Baptist, this thing about serving God, this thing about being a soul winner, this thing about being a witness, it is too hard. Don't quit. Stay faithful. God will bless your faithfulness. God will bless you when you are faithful. In conclusion tonight, are you enjoying the fruit of all of God's blessing in your life? You know, are you enjoying the fruit in every area of your life? You know, God has given us so much. You know, if you're here tonight and you're married, you know, what a wonderful thing that marriage relationship can be when Christ is the head of that marriage. When Christ is the focal point of that marriage. Now, what a wonderful thing it is to have a family. What a wonderful thing is to have children. But it's even greater, and the blessings are greater when Christ is at the head of that family. What a wonderful thing. I mean, God has blessed us, and He can bless us in so many things. But we have to do what God wants us to do. We got to do the weeding. We got to take care of sin. We got to repair the wall. We got to stay in the Word of God. And we got to be faithful until the very end. You know, there was a dog in Italy. And this dog one day was drowning in this river. And this fellow was at the river. He saw this dog drowning. And he reached out and somehow he pulled it out. And that dog became that man's faithful companion. Well, about 7 or 8 years later, that man died. Now, that man had a routine every day. Every day he'd get up in the morning, he'd go to the bus stop, get on the bus, go to work, and then at around 4 o'clock in the afternoon, he'd come back home, get off at the bus stop, and go back home. And that dog would follow him to the bus stop, he'd get on the bus, and that dog would go back home. Then, at 4 o'clock, when that man was getting off of the bus to come back home from work, that dog was there, all right, when that man got there and followed him home. And that happened all the time. Every day that man went to work for years. Well, when that man died, that dog, every day after that man died, went to the bus stop, and he was there at 4 o'clock when that man was supposed to come home. Now, that guy wasn't there. He was gone. But that dog didn't know any better. All that dog thought was, I'm being faithful. I'm being faithful. My master might come back. And when he comes back, I'm going to be there. And you know, that dog did it for 13 years until he died. Jesus Christ is coming soon. He's coming soon. Will you be faithful? Will you be ready? Let me ask you here tonight again, if you're not saved, when He comes, when that time comes, it'll be too late. Too late. You need to be ready now. Christian, are you ready now? Are you ready for the Lord's return? He could come at any time. Will He find a fruit-bearing Christian when He comes? Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear God and Heavenly Father, we thank You. We thank You for Your Word. We thank You for the lessons that we can learn. And Lord, we pray that You would be with us tonight. Lord, we thank You for these folks that are here. And Lord, I pray maybe tonight through the message, Lord, maybe we would say, I can do more. Maybe tonight we'd say, I can do more in this area of my life. Or maybe tonight, maybe there's one here say, you know, I'm not saved. I need Christ. Lord, I pray they'd trust Christ this evening. I pray that we as Christians would give ourselves to serve You and to be faithful until the very end. With your heads bowed and eyes closed and no one looking around, maybe you're here this evening and some of the things I said might have struck a chord with you. I don't know. But are you living for the Lord? Is there some area in your life you could do more? You're saying, yeah, preacher, I know I could do more in this area. I know I could do more here. I've really neglected that lately. And you know what? I really could do more. Why don't you tonight give yourself to say, Lord, maybe just commit yourself tonight. You know, in that area of my life, I'm going to do more. Maybe you do that this evening. Maybe you're here tonight and you're not saved. You don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior. Would you please get saved? Would you please come and trust Jesus Christ as your Savior? Because you know what? It may be too late tomorrow. It may be too late next week. Why don't you come this evening? Dear Lord, we thank You again for this day. We thank You for Your Word. Again, Lord, we pray that You would bless. Bless the invitation tonight, Lord, and may your will be done. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.